Welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha, a podcast for and about women of color in STEM. These women are brave, beautiful, and brilliant. Their stories deserve and need to be heard. Their voice strong, their message clear, their experiences priceless. Now let's welcome this wonderful winning woman of color to the show.
Hi, and welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha. And today I'm really excited. And I know that I say this on every show. I really do say this on every show. I just need to say that I'm really just so pleased and happy to have our next guest on the show. Again, this is me sort of keeping up with and low-key stalking people on LinkedIn. It is what I do. Somebody should probably pay me to do this job because I'm really good at it. So today's guest, and she's going to tell you all about herself, which is what we do, but is Atiya Harmon. And I'm really glad that she said yes after I did a cold call on LinkedIn and she agreed. So hi, Atiya, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am well. I'm really excited to start this conversation. I just can't wait for people to hear your story. And just for people who don't know, we had a brief conversation before we set the recording so that we could both be clear on what the expectations were. And, you know, I was like, it's a conversation because I like to talk. So once we got past that, we both agreed it'd be great to do the thing. So here we are. Okay. So please tell us your STEM story.
Awesome. I'm going to start. It's going to be intertwined, going sometimes chronological, sometimes historical.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. So currently I am the founder and executive director of Black Girls of Math, an education nonprofit 501c3, whose mission is to exponentially increase the number of Black girls and women in STEM fields. We do that by providing enrichment program out of school time. We partner with schools, community organizations, and anyone who wants to help girls who identify as Black enrich themselves. We also offer tutoring services as a tutoring resource because we like our girls to find Black teachers because that tends to empower them more. And we know there are studies about that. Mm-hmm. We are also really excited. We're hosting an event December 29th, the Ujamaa Collective as part of Kwanzaa. And we're going to talk about cooperative economics in both nonprofits and small Black women-owned businesses in Philadelphia mm-hmm. area. So it's going to be half vending, half conversations, and we want people to have resources and access because thankfully I've been getting a lot of support the whole time through my nonprofit, but I can help you with what I've learned and let's call our resources together to really help our community. So that's today, December 8th. So now let's flash back to the 80s. I'm a 1980 baby. So I think the earliest math story I remember was like second grade, so like 7 years old. The corner store was owned by Koreans at that time. And when I would go to the store, I would tell them my change prior to them ringing it up in a register. And they would always laugh. And I was just confused. And I was like, you're not going to cheat me out of my money. I know how much I'm getting back. But then it became like a game. And it was like, yeah, I just know math facts, right? Mm-hmm. So that was like the first memory I have that people were kind of shocked about that. Fast forward, fourth grade, I was in a citywide math competition. My mom had to remind me in 2020. And actually, a side note, Black Girls Love Math was founded June 20th, 2020. That's actually my mom's birthday.
Oh,
she's an educator. So I did all this paperwork and I was living in Brooklyn at that time. And I drove to Philadelphia, where I'm from. And I was in Brooklyn at the height of COVID. So we could talk about that later. That was an experience. Very much so. But anyway, going back to the story. So fourth grade was in a math competition. Fifth grade, I remembered earlier this week, I went to a school in North Philadelphia, William Dick Elementary School, 25th and Diamond, because my mom worked there and all my sisters were older. So they couldn't like take me to school too. And we had this program called Project Seed, which prepared us for algebra. It was like, I don't know if they were mathematicians or what, but it was like these white men came in suits and they taught us exponents. Mm-hmm. I remember, and I got it really quickly. So I was able to keep going with the pattern, and they were just like very happy. And I was like, this is easy. You just keep multiplying by two. Like, I don't know if this is hard. Fast forward, middle school, still like math. You know, what was that? When we had to factor quadrilaterals or something and you had to do FOIL. Like, I used to kill FOIL, right? Like, I know. Like, I just know, like, factors and facts really well.
Yeah.
So, like, I loved solving quadratics.
I promise you, you are bringing back some really good memories, because I feel like it was the same for me. It was just like, this makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. It just did. Like, I mean, I would say math was my favorite subject. So I'm loving all of this.
Awesome. Yeah. So the ninth grade was Algebra 1. Love Algebra 1 because I like to find out why, right? Mm-hmm. But I like to find out why in ways that make sense.
Yeah.
Like, think about it this way. And then if we inverse it, is it still true? Let's prove mm-hmm. our answer. So that was cool. Mr. Fisher, my math teacher, because I never want him to think that I'm talking about him. Mr. Fisher was my ninth grade teacher and my 12th grade teacher. He was my home teacher a senior. He used to make these brownies. Like, he loved this. I went to a school called Girard College. I'm a proud alumnae. From 7th to 12th grade, Girard College is a fully funded private boarding school in Philadelphia. So I had the private school experience in Philadelphia. Like, our school is 42 acres bordered by a wall, 10-foot wow. wall. So I went home on the weekends, and that juxtaposition of living private school life, and then like, I lived in an okay area in Philadelphia, yeah. but what does that do for a person where you're like, you're supposed to chew your food 25 times. Like, we wore blazers every day. It was part of
right.
our
right.
Just that whole experience made sometimes going home a little challenging.
Yeah, it was difficult. You were living in two different worlds.
Exactly. Exactly. So 10th and 11th grade, though, geometry and algebra 2, I hated my teachers. Mm. I hated my teachers. And I start checking out. And Mr. Fisher, I will say, this is my only gripe. Senior year, when we were first assigning our classes and rostering, he said, look, you qualify for honors math, all calc. Do you want to do it? I'm 17. I took honors French, and I was like, no, I'm good. You should like, give me the option. Right? How are you going to give me the option? So I was like, of course I'm, no, for what? Like, so I didn't take honors math because I opted out, but I wanted to push me in now when I like look back in hindsight. Went to college, went to Penn State.
Well, wait, I got a question.
Hmm?
Okay. So I know your teachers were bad. And my teachers were horrible now that I think about it. But like, I loved geometry. I loved it. So I just wanted to get your take on it.
It's pretty provocative. I don't like geometry and algebra too. I like statistics.
Really?
I love statistics.
Interesting.
I love statistics. Like, that's my jam. But geometry, I think if you teach it in 3D, it's good. But when you teach it 2D, and my teacher was like a student teacher, it just was like, this doesn't make sense. But when it's tangible and I draw, or I'm on Desmos and things like that where I can manipulate, it makes more sense. But you just telling me those formulas, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Maybe so. Well, we didn't have the 3D experience for sure.
No, me either. No, I'm just saying. That's how
I mean understand. These kids now is like the Cartesian coordinate plane is in 3D, like for real. Right. You can, you know, so like so it was a whole different experience. But I liked theorems and postulates and the if then
Oh yeah, you know? No, that's my deductive reasoning. Yeah. If then, all day. That's how I use life. I mean, that's how.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah, well, I guess that's why you like stats a little bit. I hated it. I hate statistics. I hated it.
Really?
Still hate it. It gives me hives just a little bit. And I think it's because, honestly, the same experience you had in geometry, I had in statistics was just like, I'm going to flunk this class. Like, I just promise you. Because it's like, it was like, you're talking to me, but I don't understand the words. And because I know you don't understand what you're saying to me, I don't even know if you're saying what you're saying to me is correct.
Yeah. I think you just aged yourself using flunk.
Yeah. Maybe. But,
what's interesting, I work with a curriculum called Solution of Mathematics. It's like the top rated curriculum in the U.S. It was independently reviewed. No kickbacks. It's like Ed Reports does it. They don't accept any money. And it got the highest ratings in their elementary curriculum. The three lead authors are all Black women doing amazing work in math education. IM teaches you the why before the how, and a lot of people struggle with that. And because we didn't know that, right? We just were told rote facts. So
right.
People still have PTSD from math drills.
Yeah.
I'm just like, guess what? Math drills don't really teach you multiplication. Math drills test your memory. And if you have a poor memory, you know you're about to get called on. Like, can you imagine knowing that you don't know? Like, I knew it, right? But the people, like, they have severe trauma from that. It's very interesting. So what we do in our program, we teach it conceptually first as addition, repeated addition. We do it with blocks. We do it with stars and things. Mm-hmm. Then we do the facts. Then we do, like, bouncing a ball or jumping rope. So then it becomes fluent that way. But they understand how it works. Like,
got it. No, I love this. And I wish that we had had, again, aging myself. because when I tell you, it was like those flashcards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The flashcards, 7 times 3, 8 mm-hmm. times 9, right? All of that. And then getting it, then, you know, getting it wrong and then having to, like, we used to have to go. Yes.
What about you, like, no, you had to, like, go in a line and come around.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a thing. Mm-hmm. So college, I was in human development and family studies. I first thought I wanted to be a guidance counselor, but then quickly had the idea that I would get jaded and burned out. So let's do policy.
Mm-hmm.
So in undergrad, I did a lot of social science research. So I was always involved in calling data, looking at statistics, inputting data. I'm also a Ronald E. McNair scholar. And my research that summer was African-American men and fatherhood status. Does that make a difference in life outcomes? And I ran the statistics using like national data and using SAS and things like that. My favorite class is, I was talking about it yesterday, ACFS 312W. It's probably one of the hardest classes I've taken, but it was writing and research with data, but about human development issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Things like that. So I always wanted to use data to inform how we shape children, shape our policies, because really passionate about children. My whole life has been as a career, including children. So statistics in college was cool. It wasn't like I liked it, but I liked when it was like specific for social sciences
because mm-hmm.
the application. But also just starting to realize when people use bar graphs that look so amazing, but it's really like 30 people in a sample size. And how, like,
you don't know that when they're, especially when they throw, right. they start throwing around percentages.
Right.
And you're like, there's only 5 people in this study.
Yeah. Right. But percentages can make you sell anything. Mm-hmm. Like, those numbers sell. Like, so you use a percent, like, whatever.
Yeah.
So wound up going to grad school at Penn for an advanced degree in child and human development. Every other school was policy. But my thought then, which I think other people should have, honestly, was that I want to know more about child development before I go into policy. Mm. But policymakers don't, you know. Anyway, that's another story. But then, so when I was at Penn back in Philly, I went back to my alma mater and worked there, like as an after school type of teacher, like kind of like Mrs. Garrett, but more intent. Like if you watch Facts of Life,
yeah,
like I had the kids when they weren't technically in school. And they had a math teacher, and she was unfortunately a Black woman, but she wasn't good. Mm. And she made the kids write notes all day, and they used to cry and be so confused. So I would get so angry, but I would, you know, help my girls, of course. And then at that same time, I was still at Penn. I start teaching tutoring Saturday mornings, this program called Project Forward Leap. And I think I was working with sixth graders, and we would break it down and teach it. And a lot of the kids were like, I wish you were my teacher. And I was like, huh? Plan to be a teacher. My mom was a teacher, right? And well, she, yeah, for the sake of the conversation, my mom was a teacher. But the coolest thing about being a teacher was that as a kid, I knew all the teachers' first names, right? Like, oh, who, Mary, right? Not some of his Rivers, but Mary, like, you know, so I'm just fascinated by that part. But didn't ever think I would be a teacher. It's this TNTP, the New Teacher Project, had a program called Teaching Fellows.
Yeah.
I was in the first cohort of the Philadelphia Teaching Fellows. So I applied. Wow. After the kids said it, I was like, all right, let's try it. And I worked in the School District of Philadelphia for about a year. They actually put me in gym because I didn't have enough math credits as undergrad.
Yeah.
Like gym was a high needs area at the time, which is very interesting. But I'm a track athlete and have been a track coach. So it wasn't like hard to like be a gym teacher, but my brain wasn't being used like I wanted it to be. And I wound up, substitutes kept calling out, and he was teaching the sixth grade self-contained class. So I went to the principal. I said, look, give me this class, give him gym. So if he calls out, it doesn't disrupt the building as much. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely loved it. Like, those are my babies. Like, we just had such a good synergy. Like, my class is amazing. Honestly, I'm just a really good teacher. But it was fun. But the School District of Philadelphia wouldn't let me change to elementary education. Like, they wanted me to get certified in gym first and then go elementary ed. And that didn't make sense to me because I didn't want to be a gym teacher. So I went to the charter world. And I taught middle school math, eighth grade. I hadn't had eighth grade math since eighth grade math. But I think what I did then is what I train teachers to do now. I literally did the math again.
Yeah.
The questions, like, okay. And I was critiqued like, oh, you're teaching too fast and things like that. I was like, oh, yeah, because I know it. Right. So now I have to go as if I don't know anything. And that made me very impactful. Like, I still talk to my kids now. They're like, you were our best math teacher, and their parents and everything. But they was like, you broke everything down. It's like, yeah, that's if then that, you know, the if then statement, like if this, then that. So taught math at a couple of different schools in the Philadelphia area. Went to Brooklyn for a little while. Parents got sick, so I moved back. That was 2010. Worked at a local charter school. They wanted me to be the math department head, which then turned into me like being an assistant principal. So after that, I went to Teachers College, Columbia University, to get my principal's certification and master's degree. Was a assistant principal of instruction, focused on math across a couple of different schools. And then I elevated as a principal, still was math passionate. And then I became the Charter School Network's Director of Math, Science, and Assessment, where I was trying to implement strategies for testing, for high-quality math curriculum, and things like that. This is all happening progressively. And in 2019, December, the middle school principal at one of the schools went out on leave, so I took over as the principal in Wilmington, Delaware. And then, you know, March 14th, 2020, everybody remembers that day.
Whole right? World shut down.
I was still a principal. I was interim. And I knew early on, like, yeah, this is not going to work for me. We just kind of, like, made people feel comfortable and get through what we could. Like, we sent like schools, we sent home 2 weeks of packets. Then we had to go back and just make ourselves available. And it was just like, the fact that you're expecting a school to do this in 2 weeks is ridiculous, but we got to do what we got to do. But through all that, my board chair, who's a very good close friend of mine, we had a conversation one night. I was living in New York, like on the weekends, and, you know, just talking about my passion about math and Black girls and stuff like that. And like the conversation, I think we had it when we first met, about people are so quick to say, I'm not a math person.
Yeah.
Even though there are people who do not read, that's not something they just are proud of. Oh, because you know, I don't know how to read. Like, that just, you don't hear that story.
You don't. Never do you hear that. I don't know how to read. No, but you hear, I don't know how to do math all the time. And you're like, make it make sense. You know how to do math.
Right.
You know how to do math. If you can add or subtract, you know how to do math. Everything else is sort of a takeoff of that. If you can do those two things, you good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or I say, do you get paid every 2 weeks? And if you don't, if your check wrong, you know that. Real quick.
I promise you they know that, right?
Hold up. Because 40 times, whatever. No, you know, man.
That's right.
So that's like, that's the first thing I go to. You get paid every 2 weeks. What happened if your check short? like, okay, that's it. But we had the conversation and he was like, we need to start something. Black girls love math. And I was like, huh? I was like, And then like, we just went on and eventually went to bed. Woke up like 2-3 in the morning and just wrote like 3 pages in my iPad of just free flow, like free thoughts. Like, it could look like this, it could look like that. And then I searched the hashtag, right? And it was like fewer than 100 posts. And I was like,
Yes.
We got something, we got to build it. So we talked it through and I took a sabbatical from July 1 to August of July of 2020 to August of 2021. I did contract work in like math education, teaching, coaching across the country, but focused on building like the background of Black Girls of Math. Like, we're officially a 501c3. We have our own Google domain and things like the bank account, all of that kind of stuff. And like the beta programming, we were able to get into the major charter network in Philly. We were in 25% of their schools. Most of them have returned this year. And we did a pilot program where I taught. I just knew a lot of 7-year-olds at one time. So I just talked to all their family members. I was like, can you not just come some like 6 Saturdays? Just give me like $25. But I just need them to come. And it was really hard to get space during COVID. People were really scared. So this one girl, Rashika, was always grateful. She let me use her space. And we just had a whole lot of fun. I've never told elementary. I was a little nervous. But we had so much fun. The girls never knew they were doing as much math as they were. And they were like, it's time to go home. Yes.
Which is the best.
Right.
There's nothing like having some, like when you get to see their light bulbs go off on kids in general. And you know that they're going to remember this experience, and it is forming for them a basis for understanding and sort of like reformulating this idea of like, I can't do math, right? And so you and I both know that like girls get their math identity from their parents, mainly from their mothers. And so what you're helping to do is sort of help them re-identify themselves in a very real way.
Yep. Absolutely. So a main goal of our curriculum program organization is community building and collaboration to solve problems. And yes, to get you into STEM, but look, you can solve problems in your communities using math. We're advocating now. So actually next month, January 14th, my grandmother's birthday, we're doing a social justice math exhibition in honor of Bob Moses, who transitioned last year, I believe, of the Algebra Project. So our rationale is and was, that is the weekend of Dr. Martin Luther King weekend, you know, everyone has one day of service, but everyone does an oratorical contest, right? Who has his best speech? Who has an essay? Well, who has the best math proposal for how do you solve something in our community? And Bob Moses worked with SNCC. He worked to bring algebra for all. Yeah. because we know anybody who knows math education, like from the K-12 level, Algebra 1 is the indicator of college or not most times because yeah. advanced to calculus. So that was like his goal, but like galvanizing it. So we have local schools and we're doing elementary, middle, and high school that are going to do a 5-minute presentation, any type of medium they want. We have panel judges, some prizes, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's a different way to look at social justice. Like, everyone can talk, right? Now, you could talk to people in the face, but do you have receipts, right? That's what people ask. Well, where's the data, right? That's what people ask. Let me see the data.
Right.
And our girls, as early as third grade, are looking at third through eighth, choose either crime or homelessness that they want to
wow.
their community. And Philadelphia is rampant with gun violence. So all the girls chose that. And they were able to see hyperlocal stats about like their zip code, their blocks, where like where were most of the shootings happening. And then as a group, they collectively decided on what they wanted to do to help.
See, I love this idea so much. And it goes to show, well, it's such a great idea, right? First off, like it's like using math in real practical ways, and so that the girls know that they can, that it can be used to help their community, like the place where their houses are, the store that they go to, one of the stats that I always use is that for any local kid, and especially for middle school and high school, like their whole world is like a 5-mile radius around their house or where they live. Right. So you doing this is saying, you know, this is what the data says. Here's how the math, like, you know, this math ain't mathing, or this math is mathing. And here's what it says. Right. You know, and having that be them sort of being able to take that data and talk about it in really real ways that are impactful. Let's do that, girl. Let's do that.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to see them do it. And where was I going with that? I forgot. But it's really third through eighth only gets two options just because of like their age group. We mm-hmm. might run into middle school to give them more choice, but our high school girls, they have more option. And I'm wondering like what they select. I actually taught the high schoolers on Tuesday, and we start like that day. We just did a Sweet 16 budget, and they like, oh, I'm not even doing a party no more because this is too expensive. And I was like, yeah, but you asked your mom for this. Let's break it down. And they were just like, what? But so that was just fun, like a one-off. But they are definitely, I'm interested to see what are they choosing to do.
I'm really intrigued by this because it's just for me, it goes back to relevancy, right? Because that was like the question as every math teacher gets, right? When am I ever gonna use this? Right. You've gotten that question, right?
Yeah, every day. So two things we do to combat that question. First, on our website and part of our language, we say using math as your superpower to change your community. Mm. So what you were saying earlier is like, oh, you know all this math. Now you're going to use this power to help impact your community. But as part of our programming, every day they start and finish with a creed, call and response. I am beautiful. I love myself. I love to learn. I'm brilliant. I love to grow. I am my sister's keeper. I am a beautiful Black girl and I love math. They start with that, and every week they learn about a shero, which we try to focus on Black women and women, Black and brown women, but if not, just women in general, who talk about how they used math or they use math on a daily basis in their career. So it's like, it might not just be a math teacher or a statistician, but these are all these cool careers you can do using math. So we want to expose them to that. And now we're at the phase in our organization where we're starting to partner with women groups, like Women in STEM and Black Accountant Women Network. And we're going to do the collaboration there, the conversations, but we're looking to also do internships and some apprenticeships for our high school girls so they can see, like to test it out.
Love yeah. that.
So that's really.
That's a whole lot. And I love, and I can see, well, first off, I can see that, you know, this is something that you really love. Like this is in you to do. But also I can, I just see the benefit of it. And I love it because, well, I love it for two reasons. One, I think we need it. I felt for a while there, like there was sort of like this attack on math, right? Mm-hmm. And as a math teacher, I'm just like, no, you know, like I understand that the way in which we teach it, it doesn't lend itself to the relevancy of it. Mm-hmm. So totally got it. Like that question from the kids, was always like, you know, you may not use the Pythagorean theorem if you're going to be a rapper, right? Or if you're going to be, you know, I mean, I'm just like, if you're going to be a track athlete or you're going to be, you know, whatever it is you're going to be, right? You know, I said, but the thing that you can take from math, and you and I had talked about this before, is like the whole problem solving aspect, you know, and that was my whole thing. If you can learn that, you know, in life in general, here's what's going to happen, right? You're going to be presented with a problem, mm-hmm. and that's generalized, right? Whatever it is, personal, professional, whatever else, right? You're going to be presented with a problem and you're going to have to solve the problem. And so I said, and so what math does is it teaches you the problem, it gives you the steps to solve said problem. First, you're going to do this. You're going to add these two numbers. Then you're going to subtract the second one. Then you're going to multiply. Then you're going to divide the third one by the fourth, you know, whatever it is, it's going to give you those steps. And it's up to you to remember them, comprehend why this is so, you know, because those are the problem solving steps. Because then you go and solve the problem. You get the problem, you get steps to the problem, then you solve the problem. This is how we solve problems in our mind, in our brains, right?
Can I provide a different perspective?
Sure.
So there is some equity-based math practices, Dr. Danny Martin out of the University of Illinois at Chicago. There's a book, The Impact of Math Identity in K-8. Mm. One of the, and like the curriculum I alluded to earlier, with the problem-solving based approach, you let the kids approach it any way they want.
Mm. And okay.
You let them, do you want to draw it? Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to write? And you then have the discussion to deepen the way, like, oh, who thought about it a different way? Who thought about it a different way? So that everyone doesn't think I have to be right.
And got it.
So it's like science in a math class, because get it wrong. Or, oh, like, how could you fix her answer and all of that? Like teachers call it my favorite no. That's a video that I use all the time, because you want students to explore their math and not look at it as just so rote, because they get worried if it's not right. Because they'll just be like, did I get it right? Did I get it right? And it's like, tell me your thought process. So what does she think? How was that different? So they make it more collaborative.
Oh, I love that. No, I totally love that. Because again, problem solving isn't always 1, 2, 3, 4. It might be 1, 3, 5, 7.
Yep.
You know, then 2, yep. Then, you know, yep. Then 9, right? So I totally get that. I love that idea. So it's but for me, it's more like a mindset, like, you know, even in a, I don't know, I want to say a sort of an abstract space, it's just like, you're not going to be left out here, right? There are steps and ways in which you can approach a problem, even if you're like, I don't even know what to do here, right? Even if the first step is like, let me ask somebody, like, this is you problem solving, right? So helping them recognize that even in those moments where it's like, I don't know where to go, the you know, but taking a step is a step towards on the problem solving journey.
I definitely like that. I'm going to steal that. But so for us, when the girls, like I have, like Lauren is my entire heart, and Lauren is really quick with her math facts, and she can do her math stories and word problems really well as well. One day she was stuck and she got frustrated and she was like shutting down. I was like, Lauren, what's wrong? And she's like, I can't do this. I can't figure it out. I said, you can't do hard things.
Right.
Things, can't you? Yeah, I can. I said, so let's go back and try again. And if you need help, ask one of your sisters first. And then if you guys can't find it, then find me. You all can't find it. I'm trying to use more gender agnostic language. And they were like, okay, work together. And eventually it came to me too, but it was like that one line, you can do hard things, right? That's the mindset. Like she's like, oh, like I have another story about a girl, Ayana, that I tell. Ayana came to me the summer between second and third grade. And Ms. Ma'am, she hated math. She hated everything about math. I told her, like, one thing we do, the first session, we just put math is dot, 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 right? And I say, I love it, but you don't have to love it. Tell me everything you feel. I'm not mad at you. And they just get it all out.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's sometimes hard. Like, they just spill their truth to the chart paper, right? And then, but I take a picture of it so that I can see what happens in 6 weeks, right? And then we talk about some of the things. I'm like, okay, so you might not get where I am, but I'm going to help you not be afraid of it. And that's a thing that we try to do. So Ayana came faithfully for those 6 weeks in August. Sometimes it was just she and I for 2 hours, and she got there. And she was like, it's somewhat better. I'm like, okay. So that was
baby August, steps, right?
Right. That was August 2021. March of 2022, I went to her school. And I was like, can I see Ayana just to talk to her, check on her? Sure. I'm like, Ayana, how are you? I'm good. How's school? School, real good. How's math? Oh, math, my favorite subject. I love math.
Yes.
Yes, it worked. So in November, we had our first like cocktail mixer, just like, this is who we are. We're 2 years old, but this is the stuff we're doing. And I asked her to come speak. So I went back to her school. Now she's in fifth grade. Ayana, how are you? Good. How's everything? Good. How's math? It's a little bit harder, but I got it.
And that's right.
In my head, I was like, this is exactly what we are supposed to do. We can all do hard things, right? So going to the family parent thing, everybody's like, this new math. It's like, it's actually not new, but we didn't know why. Like, we can just tell you how we could do it. Yeah, when I was at the high school with a teacher who's teaching Algebra 2, another woman's teaching Algebra 1, I told them something I learned in that curriculum I keep referring to. So I said, do you know that any side of a square is its square root? And they said, huh? And I said, any side of a square is its square root. And everybody paused. And I put a square on the board and did the symbols for congruency. And I said, how do you find area? And we found area. And I said, and what is square root? All we learned is the little radical sign, right? But this curriculum, when I first learned, I was like, oh my God, right? It was like such a simple concept. Like this one woman, her name was Mattia too, which is really random, but she was so stuck. I had to do like another one with her because she was just like it just wasn't covered. I was like, because it's so simple, but we were just taught.
Well, right. And so, of course, you know, when we do it, it's when we learned it, it was. This is what it means. This is the symbol. You put it here, you do this, and you do, and that's that on that. Like, just do that.
So,
but understanding the why behind the what is like can be mind blowing. So, I totally get it.
And we're starting to offer come January family nights once a month just to, hey, kids learn fractions. I know they're about to shut down.
You know what? I don't even blame them. Like, the other day, I was trying to do my niece's, she's doing percentages. Mm-hmm. So they're doing, it's like 70 is 20% of what, right?
Okay.
That kind of stuff. But the way in which they were, it was like these boxes and I was sitting there like, okay, explain it to me again. Cause I really wanted to I was like, help me understand so I can help, right? I'm watching videos. I'm YouTubing the thing. I've gotten the girl's math book. I've called the teacher. I've done the thing. So she was like, it's okay, TT. And I was like, no, it's not. I need to get this. Like, because I'm full on like in it. You know, she was like, I wish, and she says, I wish some of my teachers would have done this whole thing. Cause by the end of it, now it was like a 2-hour ordeal, but I figured it out. And I was like, and I felt like, I wondered how many teachers were feeling the same way. And two, it had me wondering, like, how many little kids or how many kids are sitting in desks with the teacher who's just trying to figure it out, but then they lose in the process and they develop, like we were talking about, these ideas about their abilities as it relates to math. And we have to figure out a way to deal with that problem. And so I really want to thank you for what it is you're doing, especially in our communities, because I feel like we get the short end of the stick. We get the teacher who, you know, like her, she ain't even certified in math, right? You know, she don't even know math or like math. I mean, if that's true tea. So I really want people to understand that we're at a crucial point, I think.
I agree. My biggest thing being in K-12 education for 20 years, my new thing now is, because we didn't learn the way the kids learn now, like Common Core, whenever I do curriculum, like we literally have to do the math. So then we're able to explain it. And we go through experiences as if we're students, but I want to teach content knowledge to teachers because we don't know it this way. And it's okay to say. We didn't learn it this way, right?
Correct.
So now let's, for 2 weeks, come to PD, we'll pay you, and you learn your, you know, teachers think, yeah, I get paid in the summer. It's
no fun. I mean, I'm not mad at it. Like, get your change, girl, but learn this stuff.
Right. So because we know, based on our experiences, 3-5 will lose a kid, right? Because you learn their multiplication, division, fractions, decimals. Why y'all putting all that at the kids at the same time?
I don't know. Third grade is a beast. And that's when girls get shut off. And that's definitely when boys get shut off. And then fifth grade is like compounded by that. And it's like, what are we doing? Make it make sense.
And then you go to sixth grade, you start talking about X. What the hell is X?
I know.
Integers.
And we ain't even got to algebra yet. Like, I mean, it's algebra. We ain't even got to algebra yet.
Right. Additive inverse. What is that? So those two clusters, 3, 5, 6, 8, are such a key point to grab kids and to help them understand and process it. I've met with a principal. It's this school in Philadelphia called Science Leadership Academy. Amazing. But send my kid there without a shadow of a doubt. When I visited the school in 2011, one of the seniors' final project was building an app.
Wow.
I'll say that again, in 2011,
mm-hmm.
That's what that school does, right? So amazing. So I'm just like, hey, we're doing a data science curriculum based on Joe Bowler's work. Just want to make sure we're aligned with like high quality math. He's like, yeah, that's great. That's the way of the future. However, I can tell you, even in our school, that core fundamental lacks. So we have the course offerings, but our kids don't always qualify. We have the APs, classes, and all that. So that's like another part of our mission, because all of this gets ruined if you have poor teaching, or not. It might not even just be poor teaching. It's just like somewhere in that you didn't get what you needed.
True. And I mean, of course, I think I just read the other day when they were talking about teachers' math identities and how that informs and impacts their teaching practices. Even if they are, in, you know, math teachers or whatever, it's just everybody's coming in with a certain level of bias.
Yep.
And that acts itself out in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. I'm a part of an organization called Unbound Ed that pushes for equity in education. They're amazing. I went to their PD and was like, okay, I have to work for them. I work on a project, a grant, Math Identity Leadership Accelerator. And we focus on principals in middle school level. And we take them through, like, these things will help build systems for culturally responsive teaching in your school. The first thing we talk about is math identity, and we make them unpack theirs. They go to their school, and it enlightens everyone. So that's how we start.
Love that. I love that. I think this is actually something that that just bears really doing a deep dive into. And I know that there's some other scholars out here that are doing that work. Along with yourself, I mean, you're doing good work. So I want to give you your roses while you are still alive, because I mean, this is what we need to be doing. And then you're having direct impact on Black girls. Hey, it's a win. All right. So I want to ask you one final question.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the following. If you could travel back through time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her and why?
You know, I thought about this question already. There's so many parts in my life that I would go back to, but I think the one I would go back to younger, when I graduated Penn with my first master's, I was like 22, 23. I would have just went through for my doctorate. Because every year I'm like, oh, I'm about to apply. And I'm like, man, do I want to be broke? Or do I want to work part-time? And I don't want to do virtual. So that's what I grapple with like every year. I'm going to get it, you know. But it's like, I wish I would have just went straight through. So now I can be Dr. T. Harmon and not trying to do it now and figure out my life while trying to do it. Because I was young. You could have did it then.
Well, I would tell you that there's never, you know, it's like almost like having kids. There's never a right time, you know, right. But do it, you know, do it when you are, you know, take that leap when you feel like you want to take that leap.
Okay.
Because it is, I always tell people that I learned so much about myself, not necessarily the subject matter, but I mean, I learned a lot about that, but I learned more about myself during that. I did it in 3.5 years. That 3.5 years than I have at any other point in my life. Mm-hmm. Because it tests you in a lot of different ways. You have to be determined. You have to be disciplined. You have to basically know what direction you want to go in it, and you have to really commit to doing it. So there is no half stepping.
Right.
There. So
yeah. Yep.
Here's that. All right. Well, I have enjoyed our time together. I feel like we could go a whole nother hour, but I am going to give you back your time today. And I do want to say this on the record in front of the, you know, our audience and everything. Whatever you need from me, I will use Sky Miles to come and teach a class, show up. I will Zoom it. I will do whatever. To help support you in any way I can. And if I can make connections for you, I will do so. So use me as a resource because I'm a fan.
Thank you. Yes, we're definitely planning to scale in the next 2 years. So
awesome. Well then, you know, count me in on whatever that looks like.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you reaching out.
You are so welcome. All right, you guys. So this concludes today's episode of Stemming in Stilettos. I know that you guys got a lot out of this conversation because I know I did. But again, I want to thank Atiyah for just being so amenable to being a guest and for just being, you know, silently stalked online. and for doing good work in our community and for Black girls. All right, you guys. So again, this concludes it. And as we end every show, I want you guys to be well and keep yourselves safe.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Stemming in Stilettos. Please check out the show notes to get additional information about today's guest or today's topic. You can find the podcast on every major podcast platform. You can find additional information about Dr. Tasha at www.drtasha.com. Thanks again, and don't forget to tune in every Tuesday for the latest episode of Stemming in Stilettos.